This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients.
So, Brie, I remember this one time I was in a bike race around Tucson, and I wasn't paying attention. We were riding down 4th Avenue, and there's railroad tracks, like streetcar tracks, and my bike's tire like went and wedged in to the railroad tracks,
no!
And I totally fell down and just like skinned my hands, everything. Ugh. I had nothing with me, nothing at all. And it's that times where you want a first aid product and you have nothing. And Active Skin Repair utilizes a molecule called hypochlorous acid. When applied to the skin, the molecule works by mimicking the natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support healing. I've used it on my son's mosquito bites, and I wish I would have had it the time I totally scraped up my hands.
Oh, I hear you. Like whenever I go paddleboarding, kayaking, I'm always trying to find something that is like an all-in-one that I can take with me. And Active Skin Repair could be used like that. It can be used to treat cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, and other types of skin damage. It's also safe and non-toxic, which makes it suitable for all skin types, all parts of the body, like eczema, and acne-prone skin, all of that.
With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients so safe and clean they can be used from the youngest member of the family to the oldest, you now have one simple solution for all of your family's skin health needs. Visit www.activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and to get 20% off your order. Use code NOGUILT.
Okay, I like want to be nice, but I am yelling at my kids all the time, right? And in this moment, that is my bottom underlying truth. It, like my behavior is showing me that whatever I'm getting from this yelling is more important. So we meet that with compassion, with a lot of self-compassion, and we start to figure out why am I yelling? Instead of just saying, okay, I'm gonna stop yelling. This time I'm really gonna stop yelling. Like we dig in and we find that insight into like, why am I actually yelling? Like my behavior is showing me that yelling, whatever I'm getting from that is more important. But when I'm up here in my head and when I'm making my decisions, my real bottom underlying truth is I really want a good relationship with my kids.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the wonderful Brie Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
We're going to get into it today in the podcast because there's a lot of things with excuses and things we want, but we don't really know that we want. It's a bit of a complicated topic, but our guest today is Marielle Melling, and it is a good one, Brie.
It's amazing. I would like to say that we're taking back the word but in this episode.
But
we're taking it back. It's not a yeah. bad thing.
Taking back the word but. And before we get into it, if we could just ask you, can you share this episode? Just share it with whoever you feel in your life would benefit from it, whether it's your hairstylist, whether it's your next door neighbor, whether it's your sister, whether it's your friend. Just share it on along because the more people that become no guilt moms, the better. Like we can truly change the world once we get rid of this mom guilt.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this episode live when it drops, consider it a Mother's Day gift to your friends, to the other mothers in your life, because they're going to learn in this episode how to use butt for good.
Use your butts for good. Here we go. And with that intro, Marielle Melling is the founder of Love and Life with Littles. She's the author of Peace Amidst the Mayhem and her upcoming new book, The Butt Book, releasing June 3rd, 2024. She helps parents simplify the hard stuff of motherhood so they have more calm, stronger relationships with their kids, and more joy. Marielle is the busy mom to five kids, ages 5 to 16. Now let's talk about some butts. I hope you enjoy the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Welcome, Marielle, to the podcast. We're so happy to have you here, especially because you've been involved in so many of our summits. And this is your first podcast episode with us. So yes. Welcome, welcome.
It's about time. Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you guys. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you. And we get to talk about your new book coming out called The Butt Book, which I love saying it.
Because
this is what you talk about in the summits that you've been in, is this the butt principle. And it's a B-U-T for everybody listening. But of course, my mind is that of a like fifth grade boy.
And like, I go big other places. Butt books and cannot lie.
See, everyone goes there. So can you describe for us, Mariel, what is the butt principle?
Absolutely. Yes. So my mom, when I was growing up, my mom always used to say butt stands for bottom underlying truth. And she would just say, pay attention to how you're using this. What are you really saying? I love you, but you're really annoying. Is that really the message? I love you, but the bottom underlying truth is you're annoying. Get away. Is that really what we want to say? And so I grew up with that. I thought about that a lot. And it does. As soon as you hear that, honestly, it'll stick with you, right? And like the next time you say but, you'll be like, ooh, but is that really my bottom underlying truth? And as I like have thought about this over the years, it has come to also represent like our actual bottom underlying truths, like those things that are really more important to us, because spoiler alert, some things are more important than others and we can want a lot of things. But if we are aligned with what actually matters most to us, that's where we find this really sweet sense of health and wholeness and happiness. So that is the butt principle in a nutshell, is really aligning ourselves with those bottom underlying truths, those things that really matter most.
Absolutely. And I think of the phrase we say, like, I love you, but it's always because we're trying to like couch the negative emotion and the negative feeling. But that negative emotion and feeling tells so, so much. It's pretty like comparison wise. Okay, close all your kids' ears. My husband likes to call it giving a shit sandwich, because you like you put the good stuff at the beginning, the like negative kind of like improvement stuff in the middle, and then the good stuff at the end, because that's how we've been told to give feedback. And it's wrong. It is totally wrong, because like you're saying, Marielle, there is this bottom underlying truth that we are not talking about. So how could we use this bottom underlying truth when we know it's there?
Yeah. So I think a huge part of it is like what you're saying there, like understanding that it is representing our real way of thinking, right? That's the way that we're really feeling right now. And we use it first to like figure ourselves out, to really get insight into, why am I doing this? Why am I feeling this way? Like, we don't just ignore those things. Like when we have that feedback, like your husband's saying, like, we don't just ignore it. We don't just move on. That's not how we go through life and figure things out. Instead, we dig in and we're like, okay, I like want to be nice, but I am yelling at my kids all the time. Right. And in this moment, that is my bottom underlying truth. It, like, my behavior is showing me that whatever I'm getting from this yelling is more important. So we meet that with compassion, with a lot of self-compassion. And we start to figure out, okay, like, why am I yelling? Instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to stop yelling. This time I'm really going to stop yelling. Like, we dig in and we find that insight into like, why am I actually yelling? Because my real bottom underlying truth, like my behavior is showing me that yelling, whatever I'm getting from that is more important. But when I'm up here in my head and when I'm making my decisions, my real bottom underlying truth is I really want a good relationship with my kids. I want this to feel like a safe place for them, right? Mm-hmm. So we flip that. We say, I really am frustrated. I keep yelling, but my bottom underlying truth is I want this to be a safe place for my kids. And then we dig in and we do the work of finding insight. Like, how do I actually resolve those triggers? How do I actually move forward? How do I actually align my habits and behaviors, right? Like, we figure out some practical strategies and things like that. But that first part of it, of really finding clarity about what you really want, because that's hard. We can dig into that if you want. And then also like that self-honesty of like, and I'm not doing it. Like, that's the work that nobody can do for you. That's the work nobody can do for you. And if you're willing to do those two things, then the sky's the limit. Like, you can find the support and the help and the insight, and we can have strategies, like, sky's the limit at that point. But that's the work nobody can do for you.
It is incredibly hard. Like, I've seen a lot of women go through it in our community. And that yelling, let's take that yelling, for instance, because like you were going into it, there is something there. There is an unmet need somewhere in there. Like, you could want the best relationship with your kids ever and give yourself such a hard time about yelling and losing it. And yet nothing will change unless you figure out exactly why you're yelling and losing it. Because a lot of us have been taught to push it down, push down those emotions, like just put on this happy face, fake it till you make it, and everything will be okay.
Well, because I think it comes along with the whole thought process that somehow you're able to not have things get to you. And that's not necessarily what it is. It's not about not being able to have things, being able to not have things get to you. It's about being able to regulate, right? Like being able to work through those things that are triggering you.
Being able to also confront those things that are triggering you. I can tell you what happens when you try to not let things get to you. I had this huge blow up fight with my sister over a year ago. And it's because I was ignoring all of this behavior from her and she was ignoring all this behavior from me. And it ended up screaming at each other, cussing each other out and not talking for 3 months. That's what happens.
Yes. Yes. So,
Maria, have you had something in your life that really led you to this whole process of figuring out, hey, there is something there that needs to be met?
I think for me, it's like a lot of my learning, gratefully, has come through other people, right? Like looking at people and trying to figure out. I've had this fascination since for as long as I can remember, what actually makes people happy, like what makes us tick. And so as I have seen people in their relationships and now coaching and being intimately aware of what's going on inside of women's lives and their hearts, so often those places where we feel triggered or whatnot is hurt, right? Is something, there's some kind of belief that it makes us feel like I have to fight back in this situation. And if I don't handle that belief, if I don't soothe that fear, if I just ignore it, like you're saying, Joanne, at some point it's going to come out. And it's going to come out as a blow up, or it's going to come out as an autoimmune disease. We have so many women who have like physical health challenges with emotional roots. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think
there's a lot of that.
Big piece of this work is, or this is the other way that it comes out, is a dissatisfied life, right? That you're looking around and you're like, this, something is missing. And it's because we're not being true to what is really inside of us. So I think we have this, it's both a cultural thing, unfortunately, right? Where society is telling us, be the good girl, be obedient, comply, follow this path.
Be happy. Do that thing. Be grateful.
Be happy. Ugh. Be grateful, right? And I'm the first to tell you, I think we're created for joy. Yes. But the way to be happy isn't to pretend to be happy.
Right? Exactly. Yes. It's the fake,
that's not the way to do it.
Gratitude. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And the way to be grateful is not to ignore reality, right? You can be deeply grateful and acknowledge reality, right? So I think we have this cultural thing. And then we also have this very innate human thing. It is easier to get along. Like we want to attach. We want to have strong relationships. And we feel like if I don't rock the boat, then I'll be able to get along. Then I'll be able to attach. Then my parents will accept me. Then all these thens. And so I think it's both a cultural thing and an innate human thing that we kind of have to realize, confront, and get over in order to really be honest about what do I actually want. Because then I can start to make it happen.
I want to talk about what people may actually want and what kind of truths they may be hiding from themselves right after this. Hey, all. It is Joanne.
And Brie here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes. From the creators of the hit kids podcast Who Smarted and Netflix's Brainchild comes the adventurous world of Mysteries About True Histories, affectionately known as Math.
Every episode follows Max and Molly. I gotta say, love the name Max. That's my puppy dog's name. Who have just recruited into a secret order of problem solvers on an adventure through time packed with puzzles, hidden equations, history, and laughs. It actually makes learning pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, I listened to this with my son, and it was so fun to listen to. I loved how modern it was with a cool aunt that they really dug, and like they dealt with bullies. My son also enjoyed all the math involved. Like, he thought it was really cool.
Well, and I have to say, I love anything that brings learning and fun together for kids. I really, really wish that something like this was around for my teens when they were younger. We would have absolutely devoured this on our car trips. It would have been amazing. It's perfect for kids ages 6 and up, and new episodes drop every Thursday.
So tune in to Mysteries About True Histories with your kids. You can follow and listen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. So a lot of the women I see, Marielle, they do have a lot of trouble distinguishing what they want. And I could say, like, for myself too, when I was really trying to figure it out, it was hard. Because it, like you said, there's so much messaging from society to tell us what we should have. Like, I remember when my daughter was younger, I'm like, well, I have this great daughter and I get to stay home with my like baby boy. And, you know, I get to don't have to worry about money because my husband's working. And yet there was like this thing inside of me where I was just so freaking mad, so mad. And looking around me, I was like, well, you should be happy, Joanne. You should totally be happy.
Yep.
And yet there's this feeling. And I think so many women have this feeling too. What have you seen?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's really important first off to address that with self-compassion, because often when you're like, I should be happy, that first thing is like, why am I not happy? Something is wrong with me, right? Oh, but we know from research when we do that, when we start shaming ourselves, we just spiral. It is not a good place to learn. It is not a good place to grow. It is not a good place to feel happy, right? All those things that we want. So instead, when we first meet ourselves with compassion, we have that realization. We say, hey, it's okay. It's okay to be human. And I love this saying, the happiest humans are happy being human, right? The full spectrum, all of the emotions, all of the things, the messiness, I am here for it. It's okay. So having that, I think, is the first thing. And then I think we learn a lot about ourselves when we understand more about humans. So for example, we have these innate needs for health and happiness. And I like to list them as nutrition, like what we eat, like to survive, and energy, all those things, right? So nutrition, movement, rest, purpose, progress, play, connection. That's a connection with ourselves, connection with other people, connection with spirituality, a sense of something bigger than us. And then all of that is under safety, survival, both physical and emotional safety and survival. Right. So when we look at our lives, we can often say, okay, what is missing? And sometimes for a lot of us, especially as moms or when we've got these young kids, maybe we're missing a sense of connection, right? Maybe we're lonely in our day to day. Maybe we're missing a sense of purpose because we have this calling in us to do something that influences for good. And some people feel that hugely in raising kids. And I would argue a lot of times we miss the purpose because maybe we're not hearing it enough from culture, but when you're changing a diaper, when you're providing a meal, like just think about how you would feel if you were doing that at an orphanage. This is what I often tell moms, right? If you were doing that same work at an orphanage, you'd be feel really good about yourself. But because it's like expected, it sometimes doesn't feel as fulfilling. So one, recognize the purpose that you actually are already fulfilling. And then two, think about how do I how do I find purpose and meaning in my life? And is there some way else that I can be serving? It's often that piece of like serving is where we find a lot of fulfillment. So that can help. Start with that self-compassion. And then maybe what's missing? What else can I bring in or adjust or beliefs, mindsets, as well as practices to better fulfill those needs?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like the whole thinking that if you were doing the same action in an orphanage, you would have this sense of purpose. You'd be like, oh, I'm helping others. I'm doing all of these things. There are like certain aspects of ourselves that are fulfilled by achievement too. And it's so interesting, the messages like we're getting right now, because it used to be like achievement was a good thing. And now achievement is like being looked at as this bad thing. I don't know if you see it happening too, but this book I'm reading right now, Worthy by Jamie Kern Lima, she mentions how a lot of us feel that when we get to a certain point in life, when we reach a certain goal, when we like our kids do something well, when our business grows, if we like get married, if we reach like a goal weight, like all those things, we think that we're going to feel happy and purposed and fulfilled when we get there. But that's rarely the case because you get there and you're still you. You still have this sense of the same feelings, like nothing really has changed.
Well, it's that thought process, right? Of if I just had this, I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're constantly in our society always looking for that magic wand, that magic pill. If I just could fix this one piece, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
And like you're saying, it's so much more than that a lot of times, which can be overwhelming and daunting. And then you're like, well, F it. Why should I try?
Yeah. But with the achievement thing, it was like, I'm one of those people. I want achievement. I thrive off of achievement. I thrive, actually, I'm realizing now the more I do it, I thrive going after something. I don't so much thrive as getting the something. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Like, yeah, it's that progress.
I always need to. Yeah, you're totally right. That is it. It's the progress and it's the growth that comes from going after something versus getting it. That's taken me a long time to realize that's what I like.
Yeah. So then I would say, okay, so Joanne, now this is you're coming to know yourself, right? Like I thrive on progress. So then we look at, okay, the wisdom of the ages, what kinds of progress are going to lead to fulfilling health and happiness, right? You're very capable. You're I know you. You're an achiever. You could really go after and do whatever you want. So when you sit down and do this work on purpose, you're going to say, okay, in this gut principle, what are those most important things that I want to go after? And you're going to use that to then set your goals and set your achievements so that like, and I think part of it is recognizing the progress that we're making. Yes, it's a check mark, but really the deeper, the bottom underlying truth is like, who am I becoming along the way? Because if I lose touch with me, if I like build all these poor habits in order to achieve, it's going to feel good for a little bit. But that bottom underlying truth is at the end of the day, if I'm becoming along the way the person that I really want to be and I don't ever achieve, I'm still going to be happier and healthier than if I had gone after something else.
I think that's an important distinction because I do see a lot of people who succeed when like external supports are provided for them. For instance, if they're in a specific program where like they have like a group that meets every week and then they have this great progress in the group, but all of a sudden the group's taken away and they revert back to their old selves. They are looking to this external means, the group, versus what they did themselves to become a better person. And it's so hard to make that mindset shift that it's not so much what's around you that makes you happy and fulfilled. It's within you that makes you happy and fulfilled. And that's a hard thing to cultivate.
It is. It is. So another way that I often see this is women who are looking at like weight loss, for example, right? And there's this nuance, right? If I'm honest, anybody could say, I want to lose weight. I want to be this ideal weight. But if you're really honest, what do you really want? Most likely, you actually really want to feel comfortable in your skin, right? And if you happen to be the ideal weight at the same time, yeah, great. But what you really want is getting to feel totally, I'm me. It's okay to be me. I am worthy being me, whatever that me looks like, right? So it's figuring out, okay, that's what I want more, then I'm going to have to do that work. And when you do that work, that bottom work, it's really cool, right? Your mindset shifts and all of a sudden you're doing the work because you like yourself, not because it's a punishment. And we already talked about what shame does, right? Like it's not good. So now instead you're eating because it's fulfilling and because you enjoy it. And you have this like more joy along the way. And you're also, side note, going to be in the position to make decisions where you are feeling more whole and healthy and happy. Those decisions are more aligned, more from our prefrontal cortex, right? Mm-hmm. So that's our forward thinking brain that's able to say, hey, I like this and I like this in moderation. So I'm going to choose to eat this and I'm going to choose to eat this in moderation because I like me. And it just like when you have that bottom, what really I want more is to be comfortable being me, to be worthy being me. And when you work on that belief and that mindset, it makes the other stuff easier along the way.
I think that the weight loss is such a great thing to look at when you're looking at this kind of principle, because so many women do get stuck in this kind of trap of, oh my gosh, I need to lose weight to be accepted as a person.
Yeah.
I need to lose weight before I do this. I need to lose weight before I do that. And that's part of the culture we're in, but it's also mm-hmm. part of this learning to accept yourself and doing this underlying work. So I really want to find out what this underlying work looks like right after this.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're aiming more of a, we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, Mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Okay, so when you're looking at doing this underlying work, say, in terms of weight loss, what would you focus on instead of just saying, I'm going to track all my food, I'm going to see how many calories I get in per day? What's like the more important work to do?
Yeah. I think the most important work, and this is like step one in what I call the path of progress, right? The life on purpose pathway. Step one is really to get that clarity, is to say we can want a lot of things when it comes mm-hmm. to our weight. If we just use this one specific example, we can want a lot of things. And we almost prioritize those, like, what do I want most? Because we can want a lot of things, but we want to make sure that we're doing it in a way that we're not sacrificing what we want most, right? It's the same mm-hmm. thing like relationship with our kids. I can really want to be heard, and that's okay. I want to be heard. Everybody should be heard as a person, right? So I'm thinking about this work as a mom. Like, I can want to be heard, but I don't want to do that at the sacrifice of our relationship, right? So when we really get clarity on what we want most, then we can start to say, okay, I'm going to get these things, making sure that my eye is on number one. So with that, like looking at the weight example, it's finding that clarity. How do I want to be in relationship to me, to my body? Mm-hmm. And it's really just creating that vision. And if you don't have that yet, look at somebody who feels really comfortable, who you say is like exuding that light, that's, dude, they're comfortable being themselves, and ask them, what does that feel like? Is it like, do you ever doubt yourself? Do you just like have conversations and really paint that picture for what you really want that relationship with your body to be like? And then mm-hmm. get really honest and say, okay, this is what I really want most. But bottom underlying truth, what my behavior is showing right now is I'm afraid to show up as me, or I am afraid of food. Like, I am afraid that if I eat this, I'm going to get fat, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that. And I have all this thing. And you start just list out what I call but statements. Like, I want this, but, and these are all the things mm-hmm. that are getting in the way of it. And then you look for insight about each of those things. And that process, depending on what your list is, can be long and in-depth, right? But you're looking at, okay, why am I afraid of food? Where did that message come from? Why do I feel like I'm not enough by myself? Where did that message come from? Once you get that insight so that your mindset is in the right place, because that's where our behavior comes from, right? It comes from our beliefs. It comes from those internal things, from those subconscious things that we're not even thinking about that just keep popping up. And those are our mindsets and our habits. That's our beliefs mm-hmm. and our habits. That's what pops up when we're tired, when we're like, when we're
the autopilot.
Stressed. Exactly.
The stress response.
It's that autopilot.
Yeah.
Yep. So we dig into those and find insight about those.
It's so interesting because that is what drives everything. When we talk yeah. about the word self-sabotage, which I have a very hard time identifying sometimes what self-sabotage is. But self-sabotage, it's those beliefs you have about yourself that'll stop you from doing what you want to do. Those beliefs that weight loss, this one pops up a lot. And it popped up a lot for me too, was I am a bad person who needs to control herself around food. Like, me eating too much food means like I have no self-control. And control was such a big thing. It was such a big thing. And where did I get that message? I saw all the women in my life growing up right. be so concerned yeah, about so their
you
damn
meet
weight.
That honesty with compassion.
Yeah.
Always that honesty with compassion.
Always. But I mean, that version of myself was always thinking food is bad and calories are bad. And even now today, like, I will catch myself looking at a restaurant menu and the first thing I look at is if those calories are listed right next to the dish and which one has the least amount of calories and which one should I pick because it has the least amount of calories and not because I really want it. Like, I could catch myself in there now and I'm like, hold up now,
wait a
brain.
Minute.
Like,
yes.
I
yes.
really don't want this thing. I want this over here and I'm going to go for that over there. But yeah. it's such a tricky thing because your mind operates on autopilot. And unless mm-hmm. you really dig into it, you have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of subconscious happening like all the time, right? Mm-hmm. And I go into this deeper in the book, but even as far as what we notice, like, for example, the fact that you notice the calories on the menu, that's a subconscious pull that has you look at that. Another person mm-hmm. might look at that exact same menu and then you'd be talking about after and be like, oh, the calories were on there? Oh, I didn't even yeah. notice. Right. And that's legitimately from what we noticed, our emotions. Like, there's so much happening subconsciously and it's waking up to like, how well do I want to know myself? Do I really want to know myself? Right. Because if I do, some of that's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to face those fears. It's going to be hard to face like what maybe we didn't have our needs met in the past. And sometimes it's hard to face also the reality that like, I can be like immensely happy. I can be mm-hmm. immensely successful. That is scary for some people if they've seen it crash yeah. and burn maybe, or like
yeah.
seeing that, all of that can be hard.
Also, I mean, you talk about change. A hard thing about when you change yourself is that the people around you, some of them don't change.
Yeah.
And some of those relationships, therefore, don't work
yeah, and you
anymore.
Don't, and you're and scared scary to let go thing. Of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the scary thing. I've had that happen in the past with friends where I was changing and they were just pulling back and it was like, oh, well, this sucks, but here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. You so, get to I mean, decide, is it yeah. worth it? Like, that person that I really want to be, is it worth it? And typically mm-hmm. if it's aligned with that person, again, that person that you really want to be, it is worth it. It is worth it.
Yeah. So tell us about your book coming out, Marielle.
Okay. So it is The But Book, and it is all about this, how to really do life on purpose, kind of an inspiration to do it on purpose, and then shows you how. So it walks through a little bit of the pathway that I talked about today, really finding clarity about who we want to be, and then getting honest about, okay, is my life aligned with that? If not, how? It provides insight about some of the things, some of those beliefs that we hold that make it really hard to change. Beliefs like, I'm not worthy. Beliefs that this is going to be too hard. This is going to be too painful. And I love that section of the book. I get to tell some really heartfelt stories of incredible people who were really willing to face some hard stuff and then come out on the other side of it to joy. And how to really find those bottom underlying truths that help us overcome some of those hard beliefs. And then the last part of the book is
really strategy, research-backed ways to implement change, right? How do we actually interrupt old habit loops and provide a little window to create something new in our lives? And then how do we like create those new habits and live with intention? So that's it in a nutshell. And I'm pretty excited.
That is awesome. And thank you so much for coming on. This was a fabulous conversation and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
I like these conversations because a lot of our excuses really lie in our habits and our beliefs and what we think of ourselves and like what we think is true but isn't true. That's something we work in balance all the time, especially in our phase five. What are we thinking we have to do but really isn't even aligned with what we actually value?
Right. And that's like a huge thing that we talked about in this episode. And like you just said, that we talk a lot about in balance is like a lot of times when you're struggling, it's because you don't even realize that you're going against something that you value. Mm-hmm. Right. Those values are important and they will bring up the biggest butts known to man. I'm going to keep throwing butt into this episode as much
but
as possible.
It's a fun thing to say. The way I notice it the most is when you think you should do something, should quotation marks, should do something, mm-hmm. and you don't want to do it. But yet, because you think you should do it, you're like forcing yourself to do it. And then all this anger comes up when you try to do it. I think of that all the time when it comes to like volunteering at my kid's school, for instance. I think I should do it, but I don't want to. I have a full work day. I need to concentrate on my full work day. And then it's like, Joanne, what about the kids? Don't you want them to have a good experience? Yes, I absolutely do. That is why I send them to school.
Well, and you know what? There are people that those values are fulfilling for them. Like, it's funny you brought up the volunteering thing because I just had that happen with a friend of mine. Both of our kids are in band, marching band in high school. And she is way more involved in her freshman's marching band than I am. And my son, who is a junior going into senior year of marching band. And she's like, are you going to this meeting, that meeting? I'm all like, there's a meeting?
No.
And then I was like, I feel so bad that I don't volunteer in it. But at the same time, that's not what my values are. My values are that I'm there to support him in all the other stuff that I wouldn't be able to do if I was cutting out to go do all that volunteering. So I'm just saying, I hear you. I have that struggle in my head all the time of that you're not being a good mom. You're not being supportive. You're not doing everything that they're asking. I'm like, dude, I got to make the money to pay the fees if you guys want him to do this.
Exactly. The other thing I get is food, like preparing food, especially preparing dinner. Like I feel like I should be cooking things from scratch. And if I don't cook them from scratch, then I'm exposing my kids to all these chemicals that are so bad for them. And how dare I? And I'm not a good mom. Because you know what I just discovered, Pri? The joy that comes from Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's is amazing. Like I found this list on BuzzFeed of all of these meals you can make using 4 ingredients or less from Trader Joe's. And it's all delicious. And actually, if you look at the back of Trader Joe's, like their ingredients packs, it's all real food on there. It's not like all these chemicals and preservatives. So that's going for me there. But somehow I feel guilty. For example, Kung Pao chicken. It's taking their freezer Kung Pao chicken, their freezer Asian style vegetables, and mixing it with their noodles, their lo mein noodles that you can get off the shelf that like all you have to do is put those noodles in a pot of boiling water for a minute. They're done.
Wow.
Mixing it together, it's Kung Pao chicken. It's incredibly tasty. My kids like it. And yet I'm like, oh, I'm such a bad mom. Look at the lack of effort that went into this meal when I don't have time to do the meals, Brie. I just don't have time.
We don't. You know what? We have an amazing episode about this. Episode 253. I'm going to put a link of that here in the show notes so you can click to that episode too. Because yeah, like it's a fallacy that we've been told that we have to do everything and that you should feel bad if you're taking shortcuts on things. No. Again, I'm smelling a podcast episode. I'm writing a podcast episode about these values because
oh my gosh,
that is a huge deal. It's a huge thing. So going back to Marielle's book, if you loved this episode and you're like, I need the butt book. We have
just so
a
you
link.
Can say you have a butt book too.
Yes.
So
you because you know, you want a book about butts. Yes. We have a link in the show notes below. It's coming out June 2024, so you can pre-order that if you're listening to this live later on. the lake will send you straight to purchase it. So
yeah,
there you go.
So remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is? Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.